this week has been an interesting one. A little bit slower since we've gone back to retail again. I don't anticipate it ending anytime soon. And honestly, that's fine. I finally know a lot of people that have this, and I have no issue being cautious. My name is Rob Chase, and I'm the owner of Digress Swine in College Park. And it happened kind of overnight too, that you know, I went from not knowing anybody or maybe having a casual awareness of somebody to probably about half a dozen people, you know, that I can call friends that have been affected by it. And everybody, you know, is mid-recovery or has recovered, some prettier than others, but yeah, it happened pretty quickly. This is a time where we all realize we know somebody. Certainly a couple people were in the restaurant industry, and you know, it seems like a pretty direct effect of everybody being back out to eat, that these cases are going through the roof again. And either that or they're in the medical field, and that's just, those are really the only two groups I know anybody in. It for sure makes me more nervous. You know, it's just reinforced the fact that, you know, honestly, I haven't really gone anywhere this whole time, and I'm not interested in going out to eat any longer, which I've probably only done twice anyway. It's made me more vigilant. You know, I've always got my mask, and if I can limit, you know, my contact with people and the places I go, then I do.
Florida is now one of the worst parts of the U.S. for COVID-19. Thousands of new cases are reported each day as the state's total closes in on 200,000. While the nation celebrates Independence Day, Florida's bars remain indefinitely closed for on-site drink service. And even though restaurants are still open, many employees say they feel forced to choose between their paycheck and their health. I'm Judith Smelser, creator of Orlando Wine Blog, and this is Unwinding, following the stories of Central Florida's wine professionals via Skype as they navigate the changing world of COVID-19.
Most customers are understanding and reasonable, but there's always going to be the crowd that wants to still hang out or sneak in and have a beverage, and we just can't tolerate any of that right now, of course. So it's put a damper on a lot of business, and you know, doing the best we can to make it up on the retail side, but people still want to be out and about. I think it's always interesting to see where the line is drawn and who's comfortable and who's not. And this time around, though, it seems a little bit easier. I think everybody's paying a little bit more attention to it. So we haven't had any issue with people wearing masks. Nobody's given us any problems there. And I don't have to explain myself quite as much.
We feel a little frustrated, but at the same time too, we were closed before the government shut us down. So, I mean, I would still be closed this week. I would think about maybe next week looking at reopening if the government hadn't shut us down, you know, because I think we can do it in the right way. Hi, I'm Melissa McAvoy, co-owner of Swirlery Wine Bar with my partner Damian Roman. Next week, after we get past the 4th of July weekend, I would think about it. But at the same time too, it could be scary, because then if everyone went out and partied, then, you know, you worry like, oh my God, do we need to wait for 3 more weeks to get over that hump? Here we are at the first, you know, the 2nd of July. So we've just made our rent payment, and it's actually like our second month on our renewed lease. And so our new contract has started. So our rent has gone up just slightly. So we're paying more rent now. It is July, so we had to pay half of the rent that we didn't pay in April on this month's rent. And we've just bought a whole bunch of wine. And so I want to stay positive and be positive, but you know, those are real things. You know, how do we survive? How does our bottom line look? And I'm trying not to look too far ahead so that every little bit that we capture along the way helps to balance out that number and doesn't scare me. But at some point, you know, we have to rebound from this. Now, I know these next 2 weeks, they're tough, you know. 4th of July week and the following week, they're typically not the best weeks of the year. We just have to kind of just get through them. And then we're going to have to be creative in August to bring in some revenues. And it's usually a time of the year where I go like really like heavy with events to help us combat that. And we usually do fairly well. And, you know, we're not able to do our events right now. It's challenging because, you know, it's like, oh my God, am I supposed to do more virtual things? Because that feels like it's the only thing that you can really bank on right now. I know that we have something set up August 21st where we're going to have John Mass come back and play in the parking lot and do that lobster truck, Rock Lobster again, because that was a really fun, successful, great night. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, we got to get creative and think of what else. We'd like to do another drive-in movie night. But again, every single time I decide to go ahead and look at the next, you know, 9-day forecast, all I see is lightning bolts for every single day, not one day of sunshine.
I got a temporary bartending job at a friend's restaurant, and it was overwhelming. Just the lack of social distancing, the lack of customers caring. And a lot of our customers, surprisingly, were in the service industry. And they just really did not care about my health or their own, which was so alarming that by day two, we were like, we should quit. This is Christina Peebles. I've been laid off since March 14th. It's July 2nd. I got laid off of 4 different jobs. The money is sketchy, iffy at best. We're getting stiffed a lot, which I'm not really used to because I was in fine dining. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of customers just swarming the bar at one time. So it got really kind of weird. And then they started temperature checking everyone. And to be completely honest, I wasn't feeling great. I started coughing 2 days before. I was nauseous, just feeling a lot of brain fog, like my brain wasn't just firing fast enough. And I just felt really lethargic. And when we went in, we were like, she goes, how do you feel? And we were like, not good. You know, we had night sweats, like we've been coughing, and she's like, go home. You guys are officially suspended. You can't come back for 2 weeks. And when you come back in 2 weeks, you have to have a COVID negative test. So it was an easy way out to essentially quit a job that wasn't working for us. It was kind of easier than quitting our friend's business. I do feel like we are a control group for the government to be able to test low-income people that are timing out of unemployment, which isn't fair. Don't use my poverty in this situation as a control group to try to take care of people because you guys want businesses to open as fast as possible.
We're a little bit tied. I've invested a lot into, you know, the store itself and trying to make it a little bit more shoppable and increasing the inventory with new shelving. So that's been a little bit of a hit. I've had, you know, more people here working, covering more time so I can free up my own time to try to focus on, you know, the flood of little things that I got to take care of every day that just always get neglected. So there's a little bit more cost, but sales have been decent. So If we maintain this summer, it will be okay. It won't be pretty, but it'll be okay. If sales really start to take a dip, then, you know, I'm just going to have to start cutting back on everything and probably revert back to spending the entirety of every day here myself and try not to go crazy and just tighten things up a little bit. But summer is terrifying here, and I'm optimistic that people will be sticking around and maybe doing more beach stuff, stocking up there, or just hanging at home. And if so, we should see some good results from that. And if everybody still decides to get out of town, then we'll deal with that as it comes. It's stressful. And thankfully, I've still got a good base here. But I think there's some simple things that we can do. And, you know, a lot of it's just, you know, I'm going to start working on kind of some new postings about some new and rare wines that are coming in. So I've got some great stuff slated to come on by. And I've found that even just highlighting, you know, something I can get 6-12 bottles of, whatever, that's very limited and rare, and just doing a little blurb about it, people have been responding to those great. We're finding a lot of cool deals with some older wines out there. So that's been fun. And I'm going to kind of keep rolling with that. We're working with Duck and Drake now to figure out delivery for the neighborhood. So I think we're going to team up and try to do a little bit of, you know, local delivery.
This is Melissa. I'm just trying to promote the delivery that we do deliver, that, you know, we are offering curbside assistance, but it feels like maybe it just feels really kind of quiet this week. You keep yourself excited by continuously buying new wines. That it keeps us excited, and then we hope that it translates over to our guests being excited too. You know, we just hit 5-year anniversary on June 30th. I don't even know how to celebrate it. I mean, we're going to find a way. It might have to be virtual. Like, I'm starting to realize, like, it might have to be a virtual Zoom celebration or something. And I never wanted it to be that way, but I just don't know. I mean, September is all of a sudden so soon, which is kind of crazy. So we typically celebrate our 5-year anniversary, or I should say our anniversary, around September 12th or so is typically when we celebrate. That was our grand opening. And we usually like to do a really nice grand tasting event. And there's no way we can pull that off this year. There's just no way. It is disappointing, definitely. But then I have to just think, okay, how can we do this? You know, what can we showcase? And how can we have fun still? And how can we celebrate? I mean, we've come so far and grown so much, you know, just personally myself, and then just as the business as a whole, we've really kind of, you know, grown into ourselves, and I'm really happy of what we've become and how we play a role here in the community. It's probably nice to have this little bit of time to kind of reflect on it all in a way, and just be grateful for the support that we've received and, you know, that solid foundation that we've built that's going to hopefully take us through this really rocky storm.
This is Christina dealing with my breakup. It's too complicated of a world. I don't want to live alone during a pandemic, especially if unemployment starts running out, just due to personal safety. With Roberto being there, it does already cut my rent in half. So I don't have to worry about my security of bringing in someone I don't really know into my home, into my living situation, into my world during such a stressful time. But it is complicated because we are quarantined. So we do argue over little petty things more because it's just rejection in his face that he kind of can't run from, which I know is challenging. I ran out of unemployment. I filed for the pandemic pay. Essentially, it's just applying for an extension. I just don't know when that starts coming through. Roberto is still getting unemployment, which is great. He gave me $600, so that's half of our rent. So I paid that on the first. If he ends up getting another one or I end up getting one, I'll be paying the other half. But she's allowing me to chunk out the rent any way that I can. Like, she doesn't, if I were to pay it on the 30th of the month, she wouldn't question me the whole month. It's been really good in that way. But now we're starting to have to essentially play a game where, can we not spend any money in July? You know, like, you start to reevaluate every single penny you spend, because we don't even know how many payments we'll be getting in July. It's very up in the air, and they've been coming in sporadically at best anyways. We're not depending on those to keep coming through. And I have $2,500 left in savings to get us through the months that, you know, are kind of the iffy months. I haven't studied WSET in 3 weeks. Our study group kind of, it didn't go awry. Everybody just got busy 1 week. And then everybody was like, not today. Let's do it tomorrow. And then there goes another week. And then now we're in our third week. And it's just like, that kind of fell by the wayside too. So I essentially have to start restructuring my days and taking my life more seriously, because it's so easy to get up at 9 o'clock in the morning for me personally and not move, not be active, sit around the house, clean, go to the pool later, cook some dinner, watch a movie, and then the whole day's gone.
This is Melissa. Things have changed, of course. Like, what doesn't change anymore in this day and age that we live in? We lost two of our members of our group. They were no longer able to stay committed, was their reasoning, because of other things in their life that's happening. But we have like 10 weeks left of our what seems like a year-long syllabus. And then we were waking up on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. for this conference call. And I'm like, why are we doing this? The person who wanted us to wake up this early in the morning is no longer in the group. Why are we doing this? So now we are going about our study call on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., which is great. You know, we discussed, would we want to replace the members of the group? And I feel like we're just so far along to bring somebody into it. At the tail end, it's challenging to find the right fit. So we're just going to have to pick up the pieces and dive in deeper.
This is Christina. I'm so far behind in my studying, I can't even contemplate taking the test at this point, when I had all this time and I could have done it better, but I'm not going to give in to like shame and regret, because the world imploded and so did my personal life. But then again, too, I see a lot of people on server groups on Facebook that are reevaluating their career choices. And it really sucks to see, because I've been in this for 15 years now. You know, I'm a certified SOM, but what does that mean in a post-pandemic era? What does that mean for the service industry in general? Do I think the whole thing's gonna collapse and deteriorate and we won't have restaurants in the future? No. But I do think that what we knew of how service was done before will entirely change. I mean, I don't want to get out of it. I really don't, but I can no longer work at a super high volume restaurant, have a 6-table section, be slammed, do 3,000 in sales, turn my section, you know, 3-4 times. Like, that's, I don't know if that's a thing anymore.
This is Melissa. You know, you have to ask yourself, what kind of job is out there for a beverage director or for a sommelier? Or like, I wonder how many people are still going to push forward with going after, you know, that title. It's challenging, but I don't ever think that the pin is going to change me. I kind of have a different outlook than probably a lot of people. Like, people are always like, oh my God, when you get that pin, what are you going to do with your life? And it's like, well, I'm already doing what I'm doing with my life. I'm an entrepreneur, you know, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to continue to do that. And for me, the pin makes me work harder. It doesn't change who I am in the future. I use it as motivation to make me a better wine professional.
This is Christina. At this current stage, I probably couldn't take that test. And I know I'm better than that. And I know I'm super smart and I know I'm super capable. But, you know, it is what it is. There's a deep-seated part of that that is overwhelming anxiety, but it's not like fuzzy high anxiety. It's like depression, sad, lethargic anxiety. Last week, my old roommate was in town from Atlanta. It was his birthday, and I got trashed for 3 days, right? And I was sick for 2 days after it, and I haven't drank since. It's been 9 days that I've been sober, and I've never felt better. Like, that's also an eye-opening thing too. During the pandemic, I've been drinking way too much, and being sober is very awakening in itself of, these are your problems, handle your stuff. Stop numbing, stop dealing, stop, no. These are your problems, they're right in front of you, you know. Don't keep pushing them to the side. Like, this is your former relationship. This is your finances. This is your working situation. Like, be a big girl and handle your stuff.
You know, I haven't seen the kids for probably a week because, you know, there was a potential that somebody in the family had been exposed, and now everybody's waiting on test results. Andrea's fiance works at a place up in Sanford, and he was exposed to somebody that was positive. So he's already taken one test and it's negative, but they're taking another, and everybody's just kind of waiting to see. So, you know, it's not so much me being worried about infecting anybody over there now, but the opposite, which is the first time that's really been something of concern this so far. It's just like this pinballing back and forth, up and down. This is safe, this is no longer safe. I can see you, I can't see you. So that's a little exhausting, but again, just gives me all the more reason to play it safe.
This is Melissa. I'm gonna head down to my Nana's house in Port St. Lucie for the 4th of July, and just spent a couple of days there. And I've been trying as much as possible to really kind of just isolate myself more than normal this week to just kind of protect my health, because I know that I'm going to see my family.
This is Christina, one of our neighbor's friends who we were at the pool with, tested positive the day after we were at the pool. And he was non-symptomatic. He had to test in order to go back to work. So I know that I've been in person-to-person contact with someone who tested positive. So now I've told my mom we can no longer have visits anymore, just because I know that I've been in direct contact.
Rolling into this week, the last time when we spoke, I was just incredibly nervous. You know, it was an ugly week overall for just sales in general, you know, and closing a couple days, so it all looked awful. But picked up towards the end of the week, we're still getting lots of love and support, and you know, it doesn't take a whole lot through this, I've realized, to keep that optimistic sort of mindset going, and it's probably just a coping mechanism that's come out of nowhere, but it's not my usual go-to. So I feel all right though.
This is Melissa. You know, we've had some great weeks of retail, and then we had, you know, a lot of fun events with the movies and the DJ nights and having live music. And then when we did open up, we had a little bit of fun, but it doesn't seem like we had fun for long. Not to mention the tornado, too. We still have our missing sign outside, but maybe that will help kind of make us feel good to see that progress. There's just been so many other ups and downs in this roller coaster ride that I keep talking about, that I guess it just gets blurred in with all of the rest of the, you know, peaks and valleys.
This is Christina. You get laid off for a week and you think it's going to be maybe a week, maybe two, maybe a month at best, no longer than a month. You've got to be kidding. And then you see the whole world shut down for all of March, April, May, June. You know, we're already in 4 months now. I have to start reevaluating right now, today, like, what are the plans for the next hypothetical 4 months? Because if we're peaking now and we're not even in the second wave, I don't know how long this is going to be. So I've got to start pinching pennies. I started looking up food banks because his food stamps run out. I only get $60 a month, but we do have enough food. But I mean, there are food banks and churches and things like that that are giving away boxes of food every month. And it may not be the healthiest food, but it may be the only option I may have for a little bit. And that's a sad reality.
This is Unwinding. Thanks to Christina Peebles, Melissa McAvoy, and Rob Chase for sharing their stories. We'll continue to follow them as the COVID-19 story unfolds. Unwinding is a production of Orlando Wine Blog. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Orlando Wine Blog. Thanks to Orlando musician Julian Bond for providing original music for Unwinding, Amy Tardiff for editorial guidance, and WMFE for distribution and promotion assistance. I'm Judith Smelser. Cheers, and thanks for listening.